certainly much to rejoice in the Lord over. Thankful for our church. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to be with you here tonight. And praise the Lord. We took 19 of us total went to Zambia, and we are thankful for that. Just to let you know, we did not close the nurseries. The ladies had a little fuss about that, so I guess I'm not allowed to close the nurseries. If you want, just as long as the kids aren't, a distraction or a bother, you can. I know a lot of people want to be in here for that. So if it works out and they can do that, but if they start getting a little fussy, let me introduce you to the rollover room, which is the room right outside these doors. All right, very good. So we took 19 people to Zambia, to which we are blessed beyond measure to have had the opportunity to go. So I'm going to invite our crew to come up here. And so why don't, if you went on that trip, why don't you come on up here, and you'll have an opportunity to kind of share with the church what the Lord did in your heart and in your life, and just kind of what happened with all that. All right. We have a new guy.
Stowaway.
I don't remember him.
He was in the luggage bin.
Oh, okay. You know, so each person that went maybe went for different reasons, maybe just wanted to take a mission trip and had never taken a mission trip before. Some, we had a good blend of, as you can see, some young and some old, and we are, again, thankful. We left with 19, came with 19, but the 19 that left, Lord willing, came back a little bit different. And just, if nothing else, to see Christianity in a different culture in a different part of the world is a unique experience. If you ever have a chance to do that, I highly recommend it. So again, these testimonies tonight, maybe something that the Lord touched their individual heart about, maybe something that the Lord taught them. And so we won't belabor it, but I do want to give them a chance. We had a time of testimony time at the Riddick's house. So let me explain real quick the setup there. Brother Barnhouse left Zambia about 6 years ago, and he pastors in Tennessee. He takes multiple trips over and oversees the entire ministry there. We call it the farm. Through customs, we did not say we were at a farm, nor were we around any sort of real livestock, because they don't like that. So we were at a mission station, but they call it the farm. And at that farm, there's three large houses. Brother Riddick and his family, they have five children, four of which are there, one of which is in the Air Force. And then, so they live in Brother Barnhouse's old house, the Jeremiahs. They were there the time we were there. They're not there because she has cancer, so we were able to stay in some of the rooms there. And then there's another house, Brother Collins is there. Brother Collins worked for NASA, and he retired, or quit NASA, and surrendered to go to Africa. He's got four girls, and they're all there. And so they live close by. There is the New Hope Children Village, which is the orphanage that's right on site. They have the school right on site, Bible Institute right on site, medical clinic right on site. And there are currently buildings being built for more housing for the orphans. So that's kind of what's going on there. So we were able to stay a lot with the Riddick family, and they're the ones that fed us and took us in, and each night we would fellowship a little bit. And one night, I think it was maybe, I don't remember which night it was, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday night, was it Tuesday? Tuesday night, Brother Barnhouse calls it Reflections. It's just kind of time of a testimony. So we kind of shared a little bit about what the Lord was doing in our life, and much happened even after that. So I'm going to open it up to this. Again, if you keep it, you understand. Certainly share what the Lord laid on your heart, but not for 45. Literally, we could talk hours about it. We have a Brother Bauman put together a little production. Brother Bauman looks a little different, as you can see, missing a tooth, gives him a little street cred, but he put our video together. So we'll take a look at that at the end, and then short testimony. So kind of in an orderly manner. I don't know if we want to start at one end and go down, or however you like.
Sure.
That's fine. Yeah. Hi. no, Africa was fun.
The flights were terrible. They were all bad. I was sick most of them. No. For me, they were bad. I was, as you can tell, I'm still a little sick. I don't know what that's from. Yeah, something like that. But this wasn't my first missions trip, but it was first time going to, like, a place where it was, like, third world. Trinidad was kind of, they had a little more stuff. But it was really cool. You know, you go to a missions trip expecting to, like, we're going to try and help Brother Barnhouse in the ministry, and, you know, I was encouraged personally. Just by the joy of the people, it was really unbelievable. Just seeing them all in church, the 19 churches that came to the conference, they all, I don't know all of them, but they all have, like, this choir that they do. They all have a choir, and they, like, they walk up, and really cool, and they sing together. And I shared this the night we had reflections together. These people have literally nothing. They save all year to come to this conference, these churches do, and it's the equivalent of, like, $5 a person. It's crazy what they have to do just to come to this thing. So for them to be there, it was really special for them, and I'm sure that was part of the reason why they were so excited to sing. That's why they were up at 6:30 and stayed up all day singing and doing stuff. But just how they could be happy from an American point of view, it's unbelievable. When we went, I don't know, we did the dinner thing. I don't know when that was. All my days are confused. We did a dinner thing with Pastor Jonathan was his name, so we kind of connected there. And in his village thing, his house wasn't any bigger than one of the classrooms we have. Dirt, walls, no electric, no front door, no running water, and just and they're all like that. Some people don't even have a house, you know. They're just sleeping wherever they can find a spot, and just to see the people's attitudes when we brought them the chickens and the food we were making for them. They were really excited about that, and just all the kids were happy, you know. I asked all the kids at the orphanage, because the five boys they hang around, I hung out with them a lot. I just asked them, are you guys happy? Because it's an orphanage, and, you know, you don't know. They don't have parents anymore with them. And they all said yes. They all said they were really happy. The two ladies that work with them, they said they were really nice. And just it really shocked me just that they could be that happy. Like, that's why I wish everyone could come see, because I tell you they're poor, but you don't understand unless you've been there. Just... they don't have anything. And just that they could be happy still. Wow.
Well, I'm a little bit happy to be going at the beginning, because by the time we get to the end, we'll be saying a lot of the same things, I'm sure. But I praise the Lord for another opportunity to go to serve the Lord. To serve others, to help those of us in the church that went, and just to have another experience being in a different place and seeing how the Lord moves and the Lord works there the same as he does here. The Lord loves the people there the same as he loves the people here. And to see how the Lord works in other people's lives. I guess there's a lot of different things I could talk about. I've been to Africa a few different times, the same place in Zambia, so I have a few experiences to put together. But I guess the main takeaway I would give is just how the Lord can affect and change people's lives. And even there, this time it was a little bit different because they had the big conference there, and we had something similar to that, but it wasn't quite the same. This time it was much bigger, longer. There was a lot of people from different churches there, and we had that experience, you know, in the beginning of our week, and just seeing the love of the Lord that was in those people, how God changed their hearts, about how they love to sing and love to praise the Lord. And then at the end of the week, at the very end, we go into town, we go into the market, and just the spirit is completely different between the world and the saved churches and Christians there in Zambia. And how the Lord just changes people's lives and completely changes their perspective. And the people in town are scrounging and fighting to get whatever they can, and they don't have any hope in their life. But the people in the churches, they don't have anything either, but they have the hope and the joy of the Lord, and just how the Lord changes someone's life in that way.
I'm feeling you're probably going to hear a lot of the same stuff, but for me, the big thing that I took away from Africa as well was just the joy that these people had. I'm just hoping no one would really take it, but that's all right. Like Dad said this morning, they would literally get up at 6:30 in the morning and not stop singing till late into the evening, and then they get right back up and do it again. And that's something that's going to stick with me for a long time, as the true happiness and the true joy that they have. A lot of people in this world are trying to buy their happiness, looking for it in all the wrong places. And these people have no money, but they have the joy of the Lord in their hearts. And that was a very abundant to me. All throughout we were playing. We had a day where we brought water balloons, 6,000 water balloons. And we played a water balloon fight with the teenagers. And I was able to just, you know, hang out with them. And we were throwing water balloons. And the ladies were, like, hiding in their houses. I'm like, come play. They're like, no, we don't want to play. And all of a sudden, I get smacked in the side of the head with a water balloon. And they're laughing. I'm like, why are you say you don't want to play? So I was throwing water balloons at them, and they're laughing, they're screaming, run back in their houses, and then all of a sudden I'm like, boom, like they're just sneaking up on me. And I got thanked so many times after that day of just thank you for coming, thank you for bringing this to us, and just being able to just experience that joy with them. I was telling someone, I haven't had that much fun in a very long time. I was laughing so hard I was crying. Partially because they point blank range throw as hard as they can at you. Like, I had welts on my body from how hard they were throwing these water balloons at me. It hurt so bad. But to be able to experience the joy of that with them, where here, you know, you bring out water balloons, everybody's loving it. But, you know, in the end, they're like, where's all the water balloons? Like, that went by so fast. There, they were just, thank you so much for bringing these. Like, if they got to throw them one, they would have been happy. And just the things that are important to them there are so much different than the things that we complain about over here. And I was texting a friend of mine while we were there, and he's like, "How's it going?" I'm like, "It's going good." He's like, "Is poverty there bad?" I was like, "John, I can't even describe it to you." And that's just glad I was able to go. This is the first time I've ever really left the country, like America. So to be able to see that firsthand, the Lord really opened my eyes to what other people experience, what their daily life is. It's hard. They have a hard life, and yet they still can praise the Lord and have that joy of the Lord. So that's just what I saw.
I got a huge blessing to be able to go on my first mission trip to Africa, and what really spoke to me, I told the entire group when we were sharing each other's testimonies about the joy that the people have having nothing, that they're still praising God for everything that they have. They work hard day in, day out, and serve the Lord every day. And just to see them when we were bringing them all the stuff that we brought, and seeing all of them, even though they got like a pair of sandals or shirt or dress, they act like they got $1 million, and how special that was to them. And just to be a part of that was amazing. And just playing with the kids, all happy, was a big blessing to me. And it's a trip that I won't forget. And that we live here, and we have like a lot of stuff, and they live there and they have practically nothing. And just to see them happy, having little, and just a blessing to be able to go to that trip.
I'm not crying yet, but my hands are really sweaty because I was really nervous. sorry. There's a verse that I was just thinking about while I was standing over there that the Lord put on my heart. I don't remember where and it is, and I'm going to misquote it, so I apologize, but it goes something like, thy grace is sufficient for me, and thy strength is made perfect in my weakness. And it's the author just talking to the Lord about just the grace of God and his goodness on us. And we usually apply that to our lives when we're thinking about, you know, our troubles and our trials that we're going through. But I'm just standing there thinking about how we can apply it to our entire life in the good things that we do. And if I were to take it and apply it to my life over these past 2 weeks, I could, you know, look at the people who I was just around and all the people that I just got to live with and, you know, be around and sing with and sit through service with. Just about how they exemplify perfectly that God's grace is sufficient and that his strength is made perfect, whether it's through our weakness or through the strength that he gives us or whatever it is, his grace and his strength are always perfect for us. Miranda's not here, so I get to steal what she said when we had our testimony time in Zambia, but the Lord answered a lot of questions that were on my mind that I didn't know I had. So when she gave her testimony, honestly, I was just, you know, saying amen in my mind. I was just, you know, going right along with it because, I mean, she was saying everything that I was feeling. Just talking about how going, she didn't know exactly why she was doing it or, like, what the Lord wanted or had planned for her. And I felt the same way. I remember telling my mom that I didn't want to go, like, the night before. I just told her, I mean, like, hey, I don't really, you know, we don't have to. We couldn't get a refund, but, I mean, I could just, you know, I'll pay you back. But no, the Lord wanted me to go, and honestly, I'm feeling the same way about going back to college right now, and just looking at it, how God used Zambia, he just gives peace. Just seeing that the Lord can work it out for good, like that song we just sang a minute ago, Ron Hamilton, it was just, God does have a purpose, and through trials, he does make us perfect, and he has a plan, and he knows what's happening, and even though we don't see it, I think the Lord showed me that through the lives of the missionaries that we stayed with, through the faith that they exemplify, and through all of the pastors, I mean, just seeing the people, when we first brought all of the clothes that we brought that we were going to give to the natives, when we brought it out to the conference there, and Pastor Ackham sent them out and called all the pastors up, and the pastors, we all noticed, basically took shoes first, and then when they went back to the people from their churches, they gave them to the people in their churches, and they didn't keep anything for themselves. And you know what I mean? Like, they're struggling too, and they probably don't have shoes or clothes or anything in their own houses, but I mean, they gave it and they sacrificed because they had trust and they had peace that the Lord was going to supply for them. And I mean, we have it so much better than that. We don't really have to think about where am I going to get my next pair of shoes. I'm like, I'm just saving up for, you know, whatever thing is, you know, hot on Instagram, and I'm just like, okay, I got to look like that next, you know? So I mean, it really put me to shame when I looked at people. You know what I mean? It just shows you, you know, how selfish you are and how, you know, how we talked about spoiled, and Brother Charlie says all the time, you're not spoiled if you have a lot. You're spoiled if you have a lot and you're not thankful for it. And I mean, I could probably say, and I think we could all say that is us to a T. And I feel like the Lord just touched my heart about, you know, trusting him and being thankful for what I do have, and being thankful in everything, because you know, our best day is better than what a lot of other people have, and especially that because we have salvation, because we have the Lord in our hearts. No matter what we do, our best day will always be better, or our worst day will always be better than anybody else's best without God. So I mean, I know that doesn't always, that's not really limited to, you know, what I experienced in Zambia, but I mean, the Lord's just kind of been working in my heart. And I just wanted to share with you some things that he's been doing in me. So, thank you.
Well, I'm just thankful that the Lord allowed me to go. I was with a group that went 9 years ago. And just to see God's hand working there in the last 9 years, how it's grown. All the young men that are being trained to be pastors and going to Bible Institute. The conference was different this time compared to last time, as Seth was saying. They just love singing and worshiping God. They love it. And they just like sing nonstop, just praising God. And, you know, here we are spoiled, as everybody's been telling you, which is true. You know, they as Barnhouse was saying, I think somebody mentioned that too, that they save up all year. Some of them live hours away, and they rent these flatbed trucks, and they're packed in there like sardines. Driving hours, the dusty road. Yeah. The dust is inches thick. I mean, it just blows, and you're just covered with it. And we're just going like 2 miles down the road on a dusty road, and you have to leave the windows open. I mean, you can feel the dust in your hair, and they're driving hours in this stuff just to come to the conference. And then I took a picture of one of the trucks that came in, and they were just packed in there, and they have their big buckets on there that they cook in Shima, the mainstay, the food. And right behind one of the buildings, there's a bunch of trees, and then they got fires going there and getting ready to cook their supper. They do that every day. Cook outside, sticks, whatever they can find, get a fire going. Boil the water, cook there in Chima. You know, you just don't go turn on the stove or the oven.
Right.
You know, I'm just thankful that God would allow me to go there and be a part of it. And just thankful for what God's done in my life. We can go on and on, but I don't want to take everybody's thunder here.
I noticed a couple different things there. I got to do a little bit of preaching, a little bit of teaching, but one of the things that God laid on my heart was to try and get some kids some water. So it ended up being after a Sunday school lesson, after the balloon battle, where they probably ran about, 3 miles running back and forth trying to get water. And it's 85 degrees outside. I'm like, we got to get these kids some water. So they ended up getting about that much. So it probably took about 45 minutes to give a kid that much water. And I thought about what Jesus did, feeding the 5,000. We always put the miracle on the quantity. And now I'm just thinking about the logistics of the thing. And it's like, if one kid gets this much and the other kid gets that much, there might be a problem. Whereas at the feeding of the 5,000, they all ate until they were full, and they still had 12 baskets left over. And just how only God can do something like that, because we can try as best we can, and our heart can be in the right place, but God's got to provide the miracle. So that was one thing that he kind of showed me there. But the other thing was, like Rick was just saying, I got a chance to try and, it was a little bit disorganized at times where you send the kids down one way, and you'll see some of these pictures in a little bit, and the teens went behind where a lot of the ladies were staying. So I'm trying to round up translator, and this, was a little bit of disarray as the big church was going on, and then we had to try and set up Sunday school for teens and the little kids. But where the teens ended up being is where Rick was talking about, where the kitchens are. And you see these ladies and what they go through every single day of their lives. Yes, they're on site at this conference, but it's the same thing. And it's, okay, where am I finding water? I got to wash my kids. I got to get dinner going. It's just a constant battle for survival that starts with something that we open up our spigot, and if it's not there and it doesn't taste right, and I'm the biggest water snob of all with a 7-stage filtration system in my house. But it's like, if I drink out of this right now, pastors like might just put it to the side and just leave it there. But right, my germs are. But when we come back here, that's what we think about. When you're there, the only thing you're worried about is, I don't know if I should drink this because I'm not sure where it came from. Because we'll get sick from their water, and technically so do they. But it's okay to give them that water. But I tried to give them filtered water every time. But it was the mothers seeing what they had to go through, and then. There's some other things, too, that I might share at some point, too. And then the other thing was just the Word of God. Not many of those folks can read. And the only chance they have to get the Word of God is to come to church. And that's why they save up as much as they can every year to do that. Because even a Sunday school teacher who was one of my translators for the kids named Frank, We were coming back afterwards. My daughter had taken away this little guy, Elijah, who I think you'll see. He's his own little persona, one of the orphans. But she had taken him away so he wasn't a distraction in one of the classes. And we were taking our Bibles, walking back up the hill, back to where the main area was. And he brought her Bible, and he was just looking at it. And, you know, it's just a basic, you know, simple kid's Bible or whatever, where, you know, she doesn't, it's not like she invested $150 in it. It's probably a $30 Bible. But he's like, man, I wish I had an English Bible. You know, and this guy's a Sunday school teacher. His heart was more for the kids than mine was. And you can hear it in his translation. And, you know, the Lord touched my heart to do something to try and get who needs Bibles there in whatever language. Because it's, for, like I was telling in our testimonies, for me it's one lunch a week can give somebody a Bible for the rest of their lives that they're going to cherish like we may. We say we do, but when we got four of them laying on the table, it's not like this one thing that, you know, is the treasure. And that was one of my messages, was the treasure is God's, the word of God, your treasure. And so it's, Miranda wanted to, the timing didn't work out. I was going to try and FaceTime her, but one of the things, like Blake said about her, just to give her 2 seconds here, was she went, not necessarily knowing why, but she's like, the Lord showed me I can work medical missions. I can work with orphans and kids in a certain age group that I'm comfortable with, and God really kind of gave her those answers that she was looking for. She goes back into her fourth year of nursing. That's why she's not here. She's back down in Pensacola. We had to split at the airport. So all that logistically worked out, praise the Lord. Noah's coming flying back now from driving her car down. No issues with that. So I just thank God that it was, other than this little silly thing here. I have to go tomorrow at 9:30. But if that's all that goes wrong, it was a blessing.
Yeah, so I started out the missions trip overwhelmed. Everything was overwhelming for me at the first. So I made a reference to flying this morning. I was overwhelmed on the first flight. So I'm glad the first flight was the worst flight, like as far as the feeling of, you know, small plane, a lot of, you feel everything, right? So once we got over that, I was fine with that. But just going through from there to then Dulles, to then we got to the other side of the world, and we got to Addis, and I'm like, the world is so huge. There are so many people, right? This is, it's hard to comprehend. All these people from all these different places going out, you know, and just, so it was a very, I guess, humbling thing to go through that and realize just how, like, who am I? This guy from Rochester on one plane with all these other people, and, you know, just felt like playing handball against a street curb by the time we got to, you know, to Indola. Just felt really small. Like, not that God can't do anything with me or with us as a group, but like, really, like, what are we bringing to the table? Are we really anything that special? You know what I'm saying? That kind of a feeling. Yes, and then getting into the conference was, that was a blessing. Just like, I think we went to the blackest church on the face of the planet. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't need to go to any other church in the South or nothing like that. I've been to it. They ain't got nothing on these people. So it took them 10 minutes. Right? Am I lying? 10 minutes to get from the back of that tabernacle, which is, would be like, not this set of double doors, but the next one, from there to here. And they're singing, and they're doing like this shuffle dance and all this stuff. And like, you know. And and then they do it on the way out. So that was a blessing to see. The people doing the memory passages, I was like, my goodness. You know, challenging and like, you know, just so well done. And again, their lack of, you know, the general culture isn't educated. They don't have a lot, you know. And yet, those people are hiding the word of God in their hearts. They're happy to sing the praises of the Lord after cooking in Shema over 2 hours over open fire, and their eyes are burning, You know what I mean? Like, we went through that experience. And Blake can fry some chicken. If you need somebody to fry some chicken, call Blake. So, but yeah, and then I was just overwhelmed by the need of the people, right? You see so much lack. And you're like, and I'm thinking like, okay, if I emptied all my pockets and I got all of you to empty your pockets, we still couldn't fill the hole. You know what I'm saying? The hole of the need is way too deep to ever fill. And the Lord gave me the opportunity to teach kids class. And on Saturday, I did the feeding of the 5,000. When I was studying for it, I noticed it kind of gave me a perspective. And I'll just give it to you real quick. Jesus, during the day, taught those multitudes. He healed their sick, and he taught them many things. So he was teaching them about the kingdom of God. Then the Bible says, and he saw them all gathered together when they're all, you know, it's getting about supper time. He had compassion on them. And then he feeds them, right? So he ministered to them in all three areas of their life. Their physical needs. They were sick and they were hungry. He took care of those things. They're going to get sick and they're going to get hungry again. He wasn't trying to solve that problem forever, but he did what he could at that time for them. And then he had compassion on them. He ministered to their emotional needs. It's to know that God cares about you, to know that somebody else, period, cares about you. And then he taught them many things that took care of their greatest need, which is spiritual, about what who God is and what the kingdom of God is and who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God, and all that stuff. So he gave them what they needed on all three levels. And that just helped me not get consumed by only what I was seeing, which was the physical need, right? And being so overwhelmed by that that I couldn't, like, didn't feel like I could do anything, you know what I mean, of value. So that was that. It's pretty, and I got to work in the clinic and see and do things there, and then, you know, helping out with the guys working. It was amazing how just a group of guys working, you know, us guys and the African guys, and, you know, they can speak English, like, you know, Joppy and Luxon and Lumbwe and Nelson and all those guys. They can speak some English, but, you know what I mean, like, we can't sit there and have a, you know, hour-long conversation about, you know, deep thing or whatever, you know what I mean? But when we were working together, you didn't need to talk. Like, we were just guys getting a job done, and it was great to have a bond that way. And, you know, so that was a blessing just to get to know those guys and bond with them. And, yeah, so if you ever have a chance to go on a mission trip, I highly recommend you take it, no matter what no matter what it takes, it's worth it. And if you ever get to ride on Ethiopian Airlines, it got great music. Yeah.
The last thing that he said was a lie. no, but I was so glad that I could go on this missions trip. It's my first missions trip, and it was my first time flying. that was very interesting, and as Joe said, the flights were awful. The flights were really bad, and
zero turbulence.
The flights were awful. Some of the landings were more rough than they should have been, but I had the opportunity of working in the pharmacy, which was really interesting. And it was just, it was cool seeing just how many people, just by looking at them, you couldn't tell that most of them were sick. A lot of them had malaria, or they had some form of worms or something, but you couldn't tell that by looking at them. They didn't look sick. They didn't act like they were sick. They were happy that they could just be there. And I got to see a couple things that were just kind of mind-blowing. But I was just really surprised at how happy they were, just how much joy they had. And just... they had nothing. I think one of the churches had to walk like 2 days to get to the conference. They didn't have enough money to pay for a truck to bring them. They walked. They carried everything. They carried their food and their pots. And just where they were sleeping, they were sleeping on concrete with maybe a blanket under them. And they were all crowded around each other with a blanket or two on top. And the girls were upstairs in the house, and we were complaining that it was too cold. And we all had 4 blankets. We're sleeping on cots. Like, just how they didn't see a need to complain. That spoke to me. And me and Opal talked about that a couple of times. And just, it was amazing just seeing how much they wanted to help us. And just how happy they were when we gave them a basketball or a soccer ball. And they shared it. And just especially going the difference between the conference and going to the market, how different that was. At the conference, we could walk around and pretty much do whatever we wanted to. At the market, it was all of the girls have to be in sight of one of the guys at all times. You can't go off anywhere. Just how different that was. It was very fun riding in the trucks. we were all crowded in there. And just how dusty it really was. We probably all have dust still in our hair. and some of our clothes probably. But it was just an amazing time. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Well, this was my first missions trip. I was really nervous thinking about it and going. I had wanted to go on a missions trip for so long, so I was just really excited whenever the opportunity did come up. My grandma is a missionary to Africa, so I had grown up always hearing about just life there, and it's always been on my heart to go. So whenever I did go, it just blew me away, because you can imagine how it is there for so long, but once you're actually there, it just opens your eyes to like a whole nother world. And just the fact that you can have absolutely everything you need in America. You can be rich, you can be poor, but if you don't have God, then nothing matters, because these people over there really do have nothing, but they have God in their hearts, and that's what gives them the joy. So just coming back, and something Pastor Russo said, he said, when you come back, just don't forget. And so that's the biggest thing on my heart, is just don't forget what God did while I was over there. And don't come back and think, you know, life is just this. There's just so much more out there in the world. And I always think, what can I do? You know, I am just one person, and I have so much desire. I want to help so many people, but it's overwhelming sometimes. But God really did put on my heart. I was thinking, because I'm going to college on Monday, so I was thinking, what is my purpose in life? Like, what do I do? And being on this trip really did confirm a lot of things for me, so that was just a blessing, being able to go over there, and you want to be a blessing, but they ended up being so much more of a blessing to me. So I'm just so thankful for that.
I almost feel more nervous to do this than I was for the really long flight. but one of the things that Brother Barnhouse, he asked us questions throughout the whole trip. And they would be different questions, but he asked this question to about almost all of us. It was, why were you born in America? Why were they born in Zambia? What makes you better? And it's like you want to answer that with the right question. You want to answer that correctly. And there, it really made me think of just how blessed I was. There is no, God doesn't love me better than them. And just to think of how blessed I am to have all the things that I have and the parents that I have and this church family that I have that loves me and prays for me. And it just made me really think and just know that I'm very blessed. Then I also have a verse that he was saying throughout the weeks we were there, Luke 12:48, and Pastor was saying you should read verses 42 through 48 just to get the context, but in the later part of the verse it says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." And just to remember how much I am blessed, but also I have so much, and that means that I am required to give more and to do more. And I'm coming back from this trip just with a greater impact and burden on my heart to make sure that I don't lose this fire, one, but two, to give and to make sure that I'm not keeping what God has given me, the blessings or the gifts that God has given me. There's many stories I could say about Africa, and if you want, I can tell you some after. But just to remember how blessed we are, and that, I know the song we sang before was perfect. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, and that he makes no mistakes. It's not a mistake that they were born in Zambia. They could do so much. And Brother Barnhouse also said that when you disciple a man there who speaks the language so well, they can connect with the people. And just to want to disciple the ladies and just want to do more with the kids, especially in bus here, Lord, and just want to do more and keep the fire that God has given me with missions.
The trip was eye-opening. It was amazing. I've been to Mexico. I've had the privilege of being able to go to Mexico, which is considered a third world, but there's a different level of third world in Africa.
Yep.
And how many have said that the poor, the homeless here are rich compared to the poor there.
Yes.
And the children, yes, they're joyful. And when you're sitting down, you're a spectacle to everybody because you look a lot different than everybody else. Yep, Mazungos is what we're called. They're named for white people. And if you looked, they would be staring at you and you just look at them and you'd smile and you'd wave and it would brighten up their whole face. And for some kids that meant come over. So they'd just come over and they'd sit with you and for the whole service, and some of them would just fall asleep in your lap and like they've known you forever, but they just embraced you. When you, as girls, you literally just put out your hand and six kids would connect themselves to each other and to you, and you could lead them wherever, and they'd have such a fun time. And the water balloon fight was World War III. It was rough because us Muzungus were a target. So that was wonderful, but they had so much fun trying to keep them away from the water balloon so you could pass it out and make sure everyone got one was a struggle, because it's like a stampede. Everyone's trying to get through you, under you, whatever they could do. But seeing just the sheer joy on their face of being able to pelt each other with water that they don't have a lot of during the dry season, which is when we went, and then it was after that yes, Mr. Bauman was trying to hand out water bottles, and we ended up not even being able to give out full water bottles. Now they get just a quarter of it, and they were happy to have that. Brother Barnhouse, on the night that we were doing testimonies, kind of talking about what we've seen so far, it came up, he was saying, this will change how you teach and how you preach, how you act when you get home. And then he goes, until it doesn't. And that really stuck in my brain, And I hope it stays in my brain, because Pastor's been, he says, write a journal, write down what you've done, because as soon as you leave, you're going to start forgetting. And all of us, we have all of our days mixed up and trying to figure out what we did what day and where. And we'll say something like, oh, I completely forgot we even did that. And how much of an impact those small details can have on you. And I hope that this trip stays with me, that I don't lose it. The first night we got there, so we started our travel on Tuesday. We got there by Wednesday afternoon. So the flights weren't bad, but they were very long. Yeah. So can make it not so nice. But as soon as we got there, Brother Barnhouse asked, he's like, here, I want to show you something. So Opal and I dropped our stuff up in the loft, and then we went and followed him, and we saw where the fires were. They're called kitchens, what they have, and they're literally just piles of sticks on, so it's just that little fire, and all of the women from one church are at one, and basically they space out on the compound. And so he's taking us to each one, and he's showing us what they're cooking. Everyone's making a shima, but with different ingredients, some with greens, some with meat. And he's saying, so he's like, so you see these people, they have sausages as their meat, and others, they have a type of kale or something like that. And he says, you can tell the budget of the church just by what they eat, because one's eating meat, and not everyone can afford that. And he's like, they save up all year to be able to come to this. It's kind of like their summit. And to see that, okay, so they can afford meat, but they might not even be able to afford meat for the entire week. That might be they're like, this is the first night, let's make it the greatest. And so they put that meat in, then they're done. So then they're using greens. And so then he took us, we walked through each one, and we see the ladies, and they're preparing, and they're doing all three meals every day. They take 2 hours each because of the way that they cook everything. And then you pass by these buildings. They were able to have the people sleep in the schoolhouses and everything. So yes, they have a roof over their head, but they're still sleeping on the cement. They still just have one mat. There's 12 kids on one mat trying to keep each other warm. And Brother Barnhouse told me to shine a light. He's like, shine your light in there. So I shine my light through one of the windows, and there's a bunch of ladies there. They're smiling. And so he reaches his hand in and he greets them, and they shake his hand. He tells me, stick your hand in there. So I put my hand in there. One of the ladies grabbed my hand. She smiled so big. And so then he kept walking, so I went with him. And he asked me, he said, did you feel our hands? I said, those are some of the roughest hands I've ever felt. She has worked every day of her life just to survive. And in that moment, Blake had said this before, you're spoiled kind of gives us a negative connotation. And Pastor Clark says, he says, and I completely agree with this quote, you're not spoiled if you have a lot. You're spoiled if you have a lot and you don't appreciate it. Moment of honesty, I've been spoiled. Once I saw that, and that's the first night, when I saw that, I realized just how blind I've been and how spoiled I am with what I have. And it made me realize that I need to be willing to sacrifice. And it's not just sacrifice money, because in that situation, you want to give all that you can. And sometimes, again, it's too big a pit. You can't really do a whole bunch. You do what you can, though, whether it's with your money, with your time, yeah, or with your effort. And in that time that we got to go, those 9 days that we were on the ground there, I was able to give time, I was able to give effort. All of these people were able to do that. And yes, I pray that we were a blessing to them, and from what they said, we were. But they were such a blessing to us. Just being them, just living the way that they do every single day. So I just, through this, I pray that I remember that one night. I pray that I remember those kids and the crazy experience of being able to prepare dinner for them one night and all that entails. but it was amazing.
Zambia was my first missions trip, and I hope from everyone from here on out to be able to make it to everyone, because that was such an amazing experience. But my trip started even before I got there. The Lord had just provided so much with money and just being able to get there. The way I raised so much money so quickly was insane. Like, I look back at it and I'm like, how did that even work? Like, I'm selling stuff that nobody needs, and they buy it and they give me a generous amount for one little thing. It was just such a cool thing. And then I was nervous about the COVID test, and it was really easy and it was quick, and all of our tests came back negative, which was a huge blessing. And I had the money for the ticket, but I didn't have enough for the money after. Like, Dad said roughly around $400 at the beginning. So I was like, okay, so I need a little more. And then my papa gave me some money, and my nana gave me some money. And then Dad came up to me, and he's like, it's down to $250. We won't need $400. But I had enough for that, but it wasn't enough for a visa and souvenirs after that. And then Dad comes up to me, and he said that someone had paid for my expenses after that. They had paid the $250 and given me what I needed. And it was just an answer from the Lord that I was able to, someone was able to do that. So whoever that was, thank you so much. And then with that, Teddy gave me a camera that I was able to buy, well, some film for. And the kids, when they got that picture, their face was lit up like you would not believe. One girl saw it, and it was starting to develop, so it wasn't quite there all the way. She's hugging it so tight, and she's just crying because they don't have mirrors. They don't have stuff like that in cameras. And Mrs. Rice would take a picture and show it to them, and they would tap the buddy next to them, and it was like, look at this, it's me. And it was just so, it was funny, and it was so humbling to see them. Like, I'm standing here with the camera, and they're just happy they got a picture that might have turned out, might have not. We don't know. And just so, it was just so amazing to see that. And I was able to make some food that one night with the kids, and they were, the women were laughing at us because we have no idea what we're doing. And they're like, you need to cut here. And we start cutting, and they're like, no, not there, over here. And we're like, we don't even know. I was cutting a chicken head and poking the eyes out of it so they could use that for something. I don't even know. I was wrapping chicken feet with intestine. It was disgusting. And they were just sitting there laughing at you. And just watching my dad and Pastor Barnhouse wash a guy's feet, the pastor was just so amazed that, like, white people like us would humble themselves and wash his feet. His face was just, I can't even describe it. It was just so cool. And being able to spend time with the kids, like Maddie was saying, you would walk. So the place where we ended up having the kids' Sunday school was not right there. You had to walk like 2 minutes, I guess. And you would walk, and if you didn't have a kid with you, you were doing something wrong. There was Elijah. He would go from person to person, and he just wanted to be held. And if you put him down, he would start crying. And you'd have to pick him back up. And he's not a light kid. He was a big kid. He was so cute. And so you have, like, three girls on either side, and then they want to hold the stuff for you. So then they got your Bible and your water, and they're looking through my Bible, and they were just so amazed with it. They would look through it, and then when they were done, they would pass it to the girl next to them, and she would look through it. And I had, like, pictures of stuff, and they were just, like, looking at those, and they were just so amazed that someone could have a whole Bible in English and carry it around like nothing. And they have no Bible, no nothing. And just to see them was, again, just very humbling. The second week we were there, after all the kids left from the conference, we got to spend so much time with the orphans. And Gift and Memory, they were two girls that were with me a lot. Gift loved just being with people, being with someone that knew she cared, that I cared for her. And I would walk around with her, and we would just walk around the farm. We weren't going anywhere. We would just walk, and we would look for chameleons and just memory just wanted to be spun in circles and run around with and play tag, and they just wanted to play with you. And Emma got to spend some time with Kimberly, Sam's sister. She was amazing. I would call her when I was at Samantha's, but she just wanted to talk with me. So she was only there one day, which was a bummer, but we sat that whole afternoon and were just talking and catching up and getting to know each other. And at the end, when she was leaving, she took so many pictures of us. So I was like, you have so many pictures. She's like, I know, I need to remember you. And I was like, you have me at every angle and every sunlight possible. It was just so much fun. I got to take some pictures with just the other kids, and you would walk around. I'd have the camera on me, and a kid would come up to you and, like, picture. And I was like, okay. And I was like, we got to go stand against the wall. And so they would come with me, and then as we're going, they would be like, we're going to get pictures. But the issue is they only come in, like, a 10-pack, so you can only fit 10 in there at one time. And so you're kind of, like, picking, not picking, but they would all just line up, and you take the first 10. And then you would sea of children around you waiting for a picture, and you're like, I don't have any more. So you'd run back to the house and bring more pictures and take more. It was just so much fun being able to spend time with all the kids. And Etta wanted to do braids in my hair. It hurt so bad, but she just wanted to do small braids, and so she did two of them, and I was like, okay, now pull it over and do a braid. So then she did a bigger braid, and Paxino wanted to do my hair, and just all the girls at the orphanage just wanted to be with you and walk with you and talk with you. And some of them, their English wasn't so good, but they still were trying to communicate the best they could with you. It was just such a life-changing experience between getting there and being there. It was just something I'll never forget.
So this was my first missions trip ever. But in my first time flying, which was really nervous, everybody was telling me it was gonna crash, we were all gonna die. But thank the Lord. But it didn't help. But I survived all that, even the 17-hour one, which was a lot, but we made it. But just while we were there, I didn't really know what to expect. So when we got there, I was really like, just, wow. Just even just like the change in climate, like it was like dry but hot. And I come here and I'm like, whoa, we have a lot of humidity. But when we got to the farm, when I went out with Maddie too, when we were just going around with the campfires and just what they were all cooking. These women were just strong, and they let us have a turn at stirring the enchima. She was helping me do it, but when she let go, I couldn't move it. It was ridiculous, and these women are skin and bones. They don't have a lot. Their hands, they're holding a burning pot like it's nothing. After years of just doing it, I guess it just wears on you. But this was just an amazing experience. It's a miracle we were even able to come. So many people in this church provided. And I'm so thankful. But when we were there, there was this little girl that was stuck on me the whole time we were there. Her name was Taboo. A little girl, beautiful. And I could tell that she was well taken care of than the rest, because her skin was soft, not really dry and rotted out. And she coming in a new dress every day, and they were nice, and she smelled good. So I was like, okay, she's pretty well taken care of. And later, when we were out visiting the markets, her mom was out there working. She was out in the hot sun selling tomatoes, and you don't really see the men around the women at all. Like, I didn't see one man with any women. And it was just like she provided for all of that, for that this little girl's care. And it was just mind-blowing. And you know how here the man provides, but there it's just survive. And just their poverty was insane. We went to the preacher's house, and it was a mud hut. It was nicely decorated, but a mud